So Father, we thank you for your word. We just thank you for how kind and generous you are to us, oh God. We just thank you for loving us the way you love us, Father. I ask that you would change us by the very power of your word today. I thank you for brave people. I thank you, Father God, for mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, Lord God. We just thank you. Amen. And amen. We're going to continue our Brave series. Eddie done absolutely fantastic last week. I'm sure you would agree from the life of young Josiah. And today I want to speak to you. He's not an obscure person in the Bible. In fact, he's pretty well known, the Apostle Peter. But I've been just so encouraged by reading his life again. And I'm reading with my life group 1 Peter in the letter of Peter. And just incredibly encouraged by this man, Peter, that was so instrumental in what Jesus was doing and what he done after he rose from the dead. But before we go there, like, just to fill you in, that this Brave series, we could talk about all the brave people that done brave exploits in this world. But bravery has many faces. Bravery has the face of a young mother raising kids on their own, to someone climbing up a tree to save a cat, to firemen, to soldiers, to all types of people. So bravery is not just, hasn't got just one face. It has many faces. Yesterday we were at the airport and we seen 38 brave kids going back to Belarus. 38 brave kids that fly over to a country where they only know people for the first time, some of the kids that don't know the language, and then we seen them and waved them off goodbye. Last week, the papers were full of a brave young girl called Katie Taylor, who stood in the midst of all the advertisement and all the media attention and declared her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That takes huge bravery, you must admit. So from the kids to the Olympic gold medalists, to the mothers, to the fathers, I salute you in Jesus' name. So we want to, I have 3 points. I want to talk about Peter getting out of the boat, point number one. Peter getting out of the boat, point number two. And Peter getting out of the boat, point number three. So it's going to be really easy to remember my 3 points today. Peter getting out of the boat, Peter getting out of the boat, and Peter getting out of the boat. What did Peter get out of? So next week when I say, what was the sermon about, and you don't know, get, I won't repeat that. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark, the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 16 and 18. You know, Mark's Gospel is a dynamic Gospel. If you want to get through something really, really speedily, and you want to know the dynamic of the kingdom of God being expressed, and the dynamic of Jesus moving through people's lives, 42 times Mark says immediately. 42 times. He's like, he can't wait to get the story out. He hasn't got time nearly to fill in all of the blanks. He just wants to say, this is what happened. And the Gospel of Mark was all of the theologians say that the Gospel of Mark is Peter's Gospel, really. Mark wrote it for Peter. Peter told him the story. But Mark, being young Mark as he was, wanted not all the frills, but he wanted just his way the story was. Immediately, Jesus done this. So Peter getting out of the first boat happened at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Peter and his brother were the first disciples. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 18, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew, Simon's Peter, and they casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Like, can you imagine working? If you just read Mark's version of this, we were working, doing air fishing, and this man called Jesus comes along and says, hey, you follow me. We dropped everything and followed Jesus. You go, my goodness, could it have been just like that? You could have been just like, oh yeah, what if another guy would have gone, boy, would he have just dropped everything and followed him? It was a pretty bold move to make, would you agree? That like someone walks into where you work and go, hey, drop that what you're doing and come and follow me. Yeah, right. So there has to be more to the story. And in Mark's gospel, it's nearly like Jesus came along, we were fishing. He said, drop the nets, follow me. We done that, dropped everything and followed him. Now listen to to Luke's version and Luke's expression of this. Luke was a doctor. So Luke was very much into details. Luke was very forensic in his explanation of things. So here's Luke's version. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake, people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen. Who do you think those fishermen were? Who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon Peter says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so full that the boats began to sink. When Peter saw this, he got out of the boat, saw this, fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they were Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men. So they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything and followed him. It wasn't just some randomer walking into Peter's life and saying, drop everything, follow me. Luke branches out the story. Luke brings detail. Luke brings, this is what we were doing, but this is what Jesus done. They were fishing all night. They didn't catch a thing. Jesus says, can I use your boat while you were washing the nets? They went down into the boat. Jesus started teaching. So some of the first things that Peter heard and seen was Jesus bringing a message from heaven. A different message, a new message, a message not full of condemnation, but full of truth and full of grace. So the first thing Peter heard, hey, who is this guy? Listen to what he's saying. He is offering words of life. Do you ever hear words from someone and they're like honey to you? They're like life to your very soul? Well, Peter's standing there like a young fisherman and he hears Jesus and he goes, who is this guy? Then not only that, Jesus says, come on, I'll show you who I am. And he brings him out and he says, even nature obeys me. Throw your nets out. So we've seen the majesty of Jesus, the power of God in action. Then after that, Peter gets another revelation of this is God. This is holy God. And as receiving that revelation, Peter starts seeing his own sinfulness. He's like, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. Leave me alone. You're so pure. You're so right. You're so holy. You're so righteous that I feel like I'm just nothing. I'm a sinful man. Go away from me. So Peter didn't just randomly follow Jesus. He heard what Jesus had to say. He's seen what Jesus could do. And he's seen who Jesus was. And in light of hearing what Jesus says, seeing what Jesus does, and seeing who Jesus was, Jesus says, leave all of that and follow me. Leave everything that you have. Leave your old ways, your old habits, your old way of doing things, and come and follow me, and I will show you how to do new things, fishers of men. I will show you how to bring men and women into my kingdom. I will now use you to do the work that you've seen me doing. I will now use you to teach the things that you heard me teach. I will now move through your life so that people will see who I am in your life. It's amazing that that's the same things that still happens. How brave was Peter to go, okay, I'm leaving all my old life, I'm leaving all the nets, all the provision that I was used to gaining for myself, I'm going to trust him. I trust that he can take fish. He could get fish in the desert, that guy. That was a good one, I just made that up. This guy, if he, I'm telling you what, how good this guy is. If he said there's money in a fish's mouth, I bet you'd be in a fish's mouth. Jesus still calls us. He's still calling us. You're here today and you're like, man, I'm hearing some stuff that I've never heard before. You're coming for weeks. This stuff is like honey to my lips. This stuff is like life to my soul. And I've seen God do miracles. Sure, look who's sitting beside you for crying out loud. There's miracles all over the place in this room. I've seen what God is doing. I'm here. I see Jesus now. I see him at work. And he's calling people still. Leave your old life. Leave your old habits. Leave your old way of doing things. Leave your old way of providing for yourself. Leave some things. Peter heard Jesus saying, leave the things. And when he left them, he experienced what God wanted him to experience. Sometimes you have to leave something to gain something. Sometimes you have to leave what you know. It could be good. I remember when God says, leave your job, Noel. I want you to work for me full time. I went to Sharon. Sharon says, you are not. God spoke to her. You trust me, Sharon. Sharon will tell you. Simple little words, trust me. And you believe in it's God and you step out in faith and you see God at work. It's not all bad things. It's not all just old habits. He could be calling you to a new dimension of experiencing this kingdom, experiencing how to work for him, how to operate in the things of the Holy Spirit. It could be leave a mindset behind. It could be leave. See that group of friends? They're just pulling you down. You wouldn't know what Jesus would call, but when you hear them and you obey him, you find out what only Jesus can have you do. It's not leaving things on a whim. It's not being a silly Christian. We've enough and had enough of silly Christians. Not listening to a voice, not listening to godly wisdom, and just going out and doing things. So I'm not talking about that stuff. Say yes, no. You're not talking about silly stuff. I'm talking about calculated. I'm talking about hearing God. I'm talking about waiting on God. I'm talking about God opening doors. I'm talking about hearing him and stepping out in faith. One of the most magnificent stories I've ever read as a Christian, I read it when I was a young Christian, was of a young girl called Jackie Pullinger. I don't know whether anyone ever heard of her or read her stuff. She wrote a book called Chasing the Dragon. She wrote, there's a documentary about her work. But as a 22-year-old, when she was in Sunday school, just like her kids went down those stairs, when she was that age in Sunday school, she always wanted to be a missionary. She heard of people going to foreign countries. Now, being a missionary is not about just going to foreign countries. It might be going across the road to your neighbor. You with me? But in her day and in her ears, it was like missionary work was all about going overseas. And she had such a passion to go overseas. And as she grew up in her teenage years, it left her a little while, but she went to church one day and God spoke to her in church, just like someone preaching like me and someone saying words like, it wasn't these words, but hearing words like, leave that to do that. Yeah, and she was like, I want to leave that to do that. So God put in her heart to go to China, to go to a place called the Walled City that was full of triads and opium dens and prostitution and all types of evil things and things that break down humanity. And no one would back her. No one. She went for godly advice. The men and the women that she was going to were saying, you can't go there. You're only 22 years of age. One man believed in her and says, look, you go for it. We will try back you with all that we have. But they hadn't got a whole lot. She saved up her money and got a plane over to China. And her story is incredible. The triads and the Chinese people in this walled city, there was no police. Police wouldn't go into this place. There was no order. There was no structure in this place. She said at one time walking down the walled cities, which I believe the walled cities, the streets was half the size of this room with walls on either side. And so you're walking down, she says, would it be at any time she'd be walking down, stepping over feet, people smoking drugs, people chasing the dragon. She'd walk over them. God, what am I going to do? These people wouldn't trust her because all they were used to at that time, this is what's in our book, all they were used to was good intention, good meaning Christians coming along with big backing, staying for a while, but then gone. But Jackie Punja had nothing. She was young. She wasn't going anywhere. She says, this is my life. She proved herself to these people. And scores and scores and scores of young men and women stopped chasing the dragon and start chasing the lion of the tribe of Judah. Stop chasing that and start going after the things of God. And you look up our own ministry. But what an amazing thing that God says, look, leave that boat, Jackie. I have another boat for you to go in. Leave all that you know. And I pray today that we hear God saying to some of us, leave that and do that. I want you to start something new. I want you to leave the old nets. I want you to start seeing who I am, knowing what I teach and seeing what I do and start to move into some of the things. Peter got out of the boat. He says, I'm going to follow him. And how do you do these things? I'm looking at Paula up leading meetings. She got out of the boat. Other people that have been up preaching for the first time, I've got out of the boat. People that are teaching in Sunday school, I've got out of the boat. People that started impact groups like Stephen, I'm getting out of the boat. People like Trevor that start teaching the kids downstairs, I got out of the boat. I got out of the boat. When you get out of the boat, you see the things that Jesus wants you to see. So the first point is Peter got out of the boat and he left the nets behind. He followed Jesus. And some of us are just at that point. I need to just get out of my old life and start to follow Jesus. Peter didn't know where that was going to take him. Peter didn't have any mapped out plan. Jesus didn't go, here's the next 6 months at least. Or Peter, here's my 5-year plan for you. He didn't have any of that. In a general way, Jesus said, follow me. Peter said, I see who you are. I hear what you say. I see what you do. I'm following you. And some of us are at that point. And I want to tell you, encourage you today, don't resist anymore the voice of God. Don't resist it. Just submit to him. He's kind and generous. He will never lead you up a cul-de-sac. He will never lead you down a garden path. He has something incredible for your life. And I say, mark this day. Mark today that the day Alana got honored was the day I said, Jesus, I'm following you. I'm giving up my old ways. I'm giving up the way of doing things that I see fit for myself, and I'm going to follow you. Peter got out of the boat in a general way. The second Peter got out of the boat was in a more specific way. It's found in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 14. What a step of bravery Peter took to follow Jesus. Imagine his elfle. Get back to those boats. Imagine his friends. What are you doing? You're nuts to follow that Jesus. Anyone ever hear them? You're off your heads following him. You're following somebody, believe me. We're all following somebody. Whether you like her or not, whether you're aware of it or not, you're following somebody. Bob Dylan wrote a song, it doesn't say follow, but he said you're going to serve somebody. What a step of bravery. But his next step of bravery of getting out of the boat was incredible. The next step of bravery was like, if the last step of bravery or the first getting out of the boat was leaving something, the next step of bravery was receiving something. If the last one was leaving, this was receiving, yeah? Peter experienced in the next step and out of the boat, the next step of bravery, Peter experienced what it was like to do things that Jesus was doing. He experienced in the next step and out of the boat what it was like to be like Jesus in experience. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him into the other side. While he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed the crowd, he went out on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, walking on water, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Jesus said immediately, take courage, don't be afraid, it is I. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to get out of the boat and to walk on water. Immediately Jesus says, don't be afraid, it is I. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat and to come on to walk on water. And Jesus says, come on and walk on the water. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Oh, you of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of the living God. Amen. To those who are willing to step out of the boat will experience what Jesus done. Peter gets out of the boat and he experiences what it's like to walk on water. He experienced what it's like to do the things that Jesus was doing. And Jesus said this, that those who would listen to him, listen to these scriptures, those who believe in me, or believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father are in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. He said, I tell you, anyone who has faith in me will do the things that I have been doing. In fact, he will do even greater things than this, because I am going to be with the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son of God may bring glory to the Father. You may ask anything in my name and I will do it. When do you get to do the greater things? When you step out of the boat. It's easy to sit in the boat and the comfort zone of our own lives. It's easy to go, well, look at them. They're all trying to walk on water. But it's easy to criticize when you're sitting in the boat. It's easy to say Jesus doesn't do the same miracles as he done yesterday when you're sitting in the boat. It's only those who get out of the boat and start walking with Jesus in this manner experience the greater things that Jesus does and Jesus does in life, even still today. Jesus called out, "Follow me, Peter," in a general way at the beginning, but now it was more specific. It was a specific type of trust. It was, come out of the boat, you come out and trust me, trust that I can keep you, I can do the impossible, I can stand you on something that's unsustainable, I can provide for you, undergird you, strengthen you, and help you to walk in a way that you would never ever walked in before. The only way you receive these type of greater things is when you get out of the boat. Jesus won't provide for me. Get out of the boat then. I've never seen anyone healed. Get out of the boat and pray for somebody. Huh? Join a ministry. Get out of your boat and join the ushers. Get out of your boat and join the stew crew. Get out of your boat and join the treasure exchange. Get out of the boat and attach yourself to people. Why have the treasure exchange got all those stories that they have? Because they're out of the boat. Are you with me? I love and it intrigues me and makes me laugh when I hear Christians pray, never in this church, other churches, know them other churches. I hear people say, you know, there's a scripture that says, every place, God says to Joshua, every place you put your foot, I will give to you. Do you know that scripture? And we pray that as Christians. The only people that get the places where you put your foot is those who put their foot in the places. You don't get that sitting. You don't get Clondalkin by sitting in Liberty. You don't get this youth of this nation by sitting with adults all the time. You have to step into the world. You have to step into the place where God says, I can give you that, and I can give you that. Lord, can you give me from the comfort of the church? No, that's the boat. You have to step out. You have to believe that I can do the impossible. Too many people want to walk on water while they're in the boat. You can't do it, man. So Peter took a brave step and got out of the boat. So the second point is, get out of the boat. Trust him. He's able to sustain you even in times when you think is unsustainable. Even in times when you think, how is God going to do this? Get out of the boat and find out. How am I going to walk in water? Get out of the boat and find out. How am I going to experience the greater things of God? Get out of the boat and find out. Amen. The third part of getting out of the boat. Point number one, getting out of the boat. He was leaving something. Get out of the boat, Peter. He was receiving something. And Peter's third of getting out of the boat is absolutely incredible. There's a certain type of bravery that comes with, you know. Do you ever tell someone a story when you've been involved in an act of God? You know, that God used you in the treasure exchange. And you're telling someone that story. It's a tremendous feeling when you've been involved with what God is doing. But you're telling it in a story way that is like, there's a bit of, it's just not just bravery, but it's bravado. And God spoke to me, and I laid hands on that person, and boom, the magic of the kingdom of God was all over the place, and they were healed. And there's a real like, you know, it's not pride, it's just like, yes. And Peter, imagine Peter going back. Like, we read Peter and we always focus on, by the way, Peter only started sinking when he took his eyes off Jesus. What's the secret? Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus and you continue walking on stuff that can't be walked on. A supernatural walk. Take your eyes off Jesus and you go, why am I sinking? Just look where your eyes are. Look where your eyes are fixed. Look who you're looking upon. You start looking upon humans and you go, sinking. You start looking upon just the church by itself. And you start sinking. You go, oh, they're not this, or these are not that, or that happened to me there. Your eyes were on the wrong person in the first place, you big loony. But there's a great bravado in, I love telling the stories of the kingdom. And it takes a certain type of bravery to step out of the boat. It takes a certain type of bravery to follow Jesus. But Peter's third part of getting out of the boat, it wasn't the bravery of sticking your chest out and going around telling the stories of, yeah, I left all my stuff to follow Jesus. Look at me. Or I left the boat with all the people and I walked that water. And it's like, look at me, but not in a negative. I don't mean that in a negative. It's like, it's part of the reward of being able to tell the stories of Jesus when you get out of the boat. But the third part is a different type of bravery. The third act of bravery is a different type altogether, because this is what happened with Peter. Peter was going along. He knew what it was to walk on water. He knew what it was to leave the boat. He knew what it was to walk with Jesus. And it came to a point in Peter's life, which Jesus already told him about. If you're close and get close to Jesus, even when a storm is coming, Jesus will tell you it's coming. And he said to Peter, there's a storm coming your way, son. The devil has asked to sift you. The devil has asked to come against you, but Peter, take hold. I've prayed for you. Now, who knows, when Jesus prays, his prayers get answers, because he's God. So he says, I'm going to pray for you, Peter. And sure enough, they take Jesus. Judas betrays him. They take him off. They bring him to Pilate. They bring him into Jerusalem. He's getting whipped and getting beaten. Peter is frightened. The disciples are frightened. They didn't know what to do. Now all of the brave acts sort of have disappeared into what's going to happen to us. This is the leader we committed ourselves to follow. We've left everything behind to follow Jesus. Now they're taking him. Now they've trumped up charges against him. That Judas fella is after ratting him out. What are we going to do? And all of the thing, you know, three times Peter's asked, are you with that Jesus fella? No or no? Are you with that Jesus fella? No or no? A little girl asks, as a matter of fact, have you been following that Jesus? The one that he left everything to follow. A little girl said, have you been following? He called the curse down on himself. I have not been following that Jesus. The cock crows three times. Can you imagine the devastation that Peter felt in his heart? How could I turn my back on him? How, of all the people here, how could I have walked away? I've seen Lazarus raised from the dead. I've seen Jesus feed a couple of thousand people with a couple of loaves and fishes. I've seen money coming out of a fish's mouth to pay the taxes. I've been there when I've been up on the Mount of Transfiguration. How could I have denied him? How could I have left him? Can you imagine his whole life screaming at him, you big fool? Can you imagine the condemnation? Can you imagine the screaming that was going on in his head? You've left him. You've just turned your back on Jesus. So Jesus rises, gets crucified. He rises from the dead. He goes to look for the disciples. Where's Peter and the boys? In a boat. Back fishing. John chapter 20, I believe. Jesus rises from the dead. Where's the boys? Where's the ones I put 3 years of my life into? He goes to the lake. Peter and the boys are out fishing again. Jesus arrives on the beach. And what does he do? He makes them breakfast. You think of all the things you're going to do after rising from the dead. The last thing you're going to think you're going to be doing is making breakfast for somebody. But he calls out to them. Hey, hey, they didn't recognize him. But John leans over to Peter in the boat and he says, Peter, that's the Lord. Peter, that's the Master. Peter, without hesitation, jumps out of the boat and starts not to walk on water, but to walk through water, to wade through the weight of the water. It's amazing, even what Trish was saying earlier on, that whether you're walking from the water, on the water, or through the water, Jesus is there. Jesus was there when he walked away from the water. He was there when he walked on the water. And now Jesus was there when he was walking through the water. Walking through the water is not the same as walking on water. You have to work at it. You have to push your way through. There's a resistance in the water. It's not just like twinkle toes across the top of the water. Now it's like, imagine him running through. No, I need to get to him. I need to get to him. I need to get to him. And when he gets there wasn't condemnation waiting on him. There wasn't I told you so waiting on him. Jesus was waiting on him. And it takes a certain type of bravery when you've fallen away from God. It's a different type of bravery. It's a humble bravery to come back and say, I've got it wrong. It's to come back. It's an incredible, beautiful type of bravery. It's a bravery that beautifies a person. It's a bravery that refreshes a person. That he had to come before God with a new act, before Jesus, with a new act of bravery. It wasn't the fake bravery of walking on water. It was a humility. It was like, Jesus, I've got it wrong. And I come before you to repent. I come before you to put things right. I come before you to just be able to look you in the eye again. To just be able to say, you know I love you, Jesus, when you read it through. It's a different type of faith. It's a faith that brings weary souls to a place of refreshing. Repentance and humility, the bravery of this humble bravery. It brings someone that has been out on their back to someone who's able to stand up straight again. It brings somebody that has been buckled down under a weight of condemnation. And this bravery beautifies a person that enables them to stand up again, reinstated in the position that God has for them. It's a type of bravery that releases the grace of God into a life. It's a type of bravery that reaches out to those who, when they're far off, brings them in near again. Listen to how it unfolds. John 21:17. Peter comes before the Lord. The Lord says, "Do you love me, Peter?" He says, "Lord, you know I love you." Peter, he says, "Feed my sheep." Peter, "Do you love me?" The second time. He says, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." The third time, Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Lord, you know I love you." And he says, "Feed my lambs." 3 times he denied him. 3 times Jesus reversed what was in his life in the denial. He reversed it 3 times. "No, Peter, you denied me 3 times. Now I'm going to reinstate you 3 times. I'm going to reinstate you to power, to position, to authority, to the place that you have in me." Peter was hurt because the Lord asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus said this to indicate, that's another, in the awe. Jesus said this, these type of things to Peter that would glorify God. And then he said to Peter, chapter 21:17, he says, "Peter, after 3 times reinstating into power, position, authority, he says, now follow me." And Peter's life all over again. "Yes, Lord, I will leave it all again just to follow you." Jesus was there no matter what went on in his life, and now he was reinstating him. He got out of the boat. The next time you see Peter, Peter stands up in the book of Acts, and he's a fisher of men. 5,000 people become Christians in one preach from Peter. 5,000. And Jesus has a way. If we're far off away from him, Jesus wants to reinstate. He wants to reinstate. "Well, Lord, I knew you had a call in my life, but I just let it slip." He's like, "No, come on home. Now I'm going to reinstate you. You're going to do things." See, the devil had a right go at Peter. And believe me, guys, if you're visiting with us, it doesn't take long to realize that there's an enemy. It doesn't take long to realize that there's a devil that's evil. And that all you have to see is his paraphernalia. And the devil had a right go at Peter. Why? Because somehow he knew, if this fella keeps walking with Jesus, there's no telling what's going to happen in Jerusalem. There's no telling what's going to happen in the nations. There's no telling what's going to happen in the world. Exactly what he knew, he tried to cut off. And I guarantee you that the enemy's had a right go at some of you guys. Because I know he does this. And he had a right go. "No, you had this and God said this and you thought God was going to give you this dream. And there was times you got out of the boat and walked on the water. You left things to follow Jesus." And he comes in. He doesn't come in with a knockout punch. He never comes in with a knockout punch. He comes in like with a little one. Boom. "Oh, I don't know that Jesus." And another one. Boom. "I wish I was a bit of a boxer. I could have done that. Or I had a radio mic or something." But he just tries to wear you down. And he thought he wore Peter down, but Jesus was praying for him. That there was one that was greater than the one that was throwing the punches, praying for Peter. There was one that was in Peter's corner that the devil hadn't got a chance. And so I look at that, and Peter denied him, Peter denied him, Peter denied him. No, but Peter was reinstated. It's not about Peter denying, it's about Peter being reinstated. And some of us, like one, has fallen away and you need to be reinstated today. Two, some of us have known that God has a ministry for you to be involved in, and you're not involved in. Now it's the day to be reinstated and say, "I'm going to join that ministry. I'm going to give of myself." And thirdly, I've seen this picture recently. X-Men First Class. Anyone see it? Just put up your hand so I know. A couple of X-Men in the house. It's not a chick flick, to tell you that much. It's one of those things that we love as men. And but anyway, there's a man in it called Magneto. And he's able to control steel and iron and stuff like that. So if you threw an iron ball at him, he'd stop her in midair and make it go back and hit you in the head or something like that. But there's a scene in it. And they have, the bad guys have got all of the fleet of America's Navy and the fleet of the Russian Navy to come together, and there was a line that if it was crossed, there was all going to be like warheads flying across. And it turns out that the X-Men save it, but then they turn it around, and all the X-Men is on this little island, and in it all, they decided to fire all of the rockets, all of the bombs, all of the bullets on them and kill them. That was what came true. And so they, you imagine all these, the fleets of the Navy, all of the big battleships, and they release all of the bombs. So hundreds of these missiles are flying through the air, and Magneto just puts up his hand and he stops them all in midair because he can control all metal. And it's like everyone is amazed that none of them bombs are dropping. And you have felt the enemy like coming in with all types of missiles against you, all types of things. I want to tell you that there's a hand of God that's holding him back away from you. There's a hand of God, because Jesus says, I intercede for you. He stands in the gap. And what gets through is nothing that you cannot handle. He gets things through so that you, your faith grows, that your character grows. Them things that get through, but the things that he's holding back are far greater than what will ever get through. And that's why Peter, in the letter of Peter, he says, rejoice when you face trials and tribulations. Why? Because he says they're the things that makes your faith stronger. They prove who you trust in. They prove who God is in your life. And if Peter could add on to that, and he could say something like, and I want to tell you this, you want to see where his hand is holding back from you. So what gets true, Paul says he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can endure. If you're being tempted, it's because you can endure it. If you couldn't endure it, he wouldn't let you be tempted in the first place. That's a message for every one of us. Amen. Let's stand. God is good, yeah? Amen. Father, we love you. And we bless your great name. And I know at the beginning of this series that the Lord says to me, get my people before me and I'll show them some stuff. So I'm just going to obey what I believe God said. And there. Amen. Amen. And before we go there, during the week I was praying, and I mentioned two names already, but I just believe that the Lord wanted to say, Stephen Geraghty, that he's thrilled you got out of the boat. And Trevor, I just believe the Lord said, he's thrilled you got out of the boat. And Cian, I prayed for you all this week, Cian. And I just want to say how impressed I am with you, Cian. I want to tell you, just as a pastor, as a leader, as an elder in this city, as a man of God, I want to say that how impressed I am with you, Cian. I'm just so impressed. And it's amazing. I come in this morning, he's up the front on his knees worshiping God. And I just felt the Father wanted to say that you're going to know his fathering in such way as Cian, because you're open to him, and you're open to be fathered by the King of the of heaven, and that you're not just gonna walk away from a boat. You're gonna start a boating business. I don't literally mean a boating business. I just believe that the Father wants to say you're going into his business. You're going into his business. It'd be something like Jesus said to the boys that you're gonna be a fisher of men. You're going to be a fisher of men. And I just release God's blessing on you, Cian. God's anointing on you, Cian. That you've honored God, and this is God's way of honoring you back. You've honored God privately. You've honored God in private conversations. And God just wants to honor you today. That you're going to be about your Father's business. I bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. So very, very quickly, let's get things right here with God, yeah? And give the Lord a chance to do what he wants to do. You know what? You're in a general way, you're in your boat, you're doing your own thing. And you hear God saying, come on and follow me. Come on and follow me. You hear God in a general way. Like, look, come a believer. Believe in what I say. Believe in what I do. Believe in who I'm showing you that I am. And you're saying, Noel, I believe this is my day to mark my cards with God. quickly just come to the front if that's you. Just quickly, don't hesitate, don't wait. It's like, yeah, I'm a follower. I'm becoming a follower today. I am not hesitating. I am not just going to hang around with the other fishermen and the other boats and just, I'm marking my cards today. Jesus, this is me. This is who I am. Come right in and push. This is your day of marking the cards. And secondly, there's people in the boats, and specifically Jesus is asking you to step out in a certain way. You want to see what Jesus can do, but you won't see it from the boats. You won't see it with your feet on the wood of the boats. You'll only see it on the splash of the waters. And God has called you specifically to ministry, to a ministry, to join a ministry. Why don't you come quickly and say, Lord, I'm marking my cards today. I'm getting out of the boat. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at the reasons why not to. Look at him who tells you to do it. Don't you stand there looking at me. I know you're there. Come on. I know it's scary. I know it's scary. But you know you need to step out today. Lord, I will do it. I will go. I will be the one. Here I am. Could be a couple. Here we are. We know. God has said this. We've pulled back. We've gone to the back of the boat. You know, if God has said it to you, and your husband's not here or your wife is not here, come and stand in proxy for the both of you. No, God spoke this to us. I don't know where she's at. I don't know where he's at. Whoever it may be, but this is where I'm at today, and I'm responding to God. And thirdly, if you're being far away from God, this requires a different type of bravery. Would you humble yourself and you come back to God? And I don't want to leave you out in the boat out there. I want to call you out of the boat to the front and say, I need to just come back. I need to be right. I'm sick of being far off. I'm sick of that fishing. I'm sick of the smell of nets. I'm sick of that smell of fish. I'm sick of this boat. I'm sick of the salt on my lips. I'm sick of this dryness. I'm coming home. There's a breakfast waiting on you, for crying out loud. There's something of God, a feast. It's not condemnation. It's not guilt. That bravery is rewarded with exaltation. Humility is always rewarded with exaltation. The Bible says that God exalts the humble. And you may have denied 3 times. He will reinstate you 3 times to position, to power, and to authority. You don't start at the bottom rung of the ladder again. You're positioned right to where you were, if not even further.